How many of y'all been enjoying this series on the serving son? I don't know if anything in my Christian walk since 1980 has done so much for me to help put together all the pieces of the puzzle where I can understand, really, I'm not having to judge my life by circumstances anymore, which I've tried not to do that for a long time anyway. And I've done fairly well. I'm getting to where I'm doing better. But I understand my Father's heart better after this series. I understand His mind towards me. And I understand the role of the Holy Spirit. I understand better the role of my enemy. I'm really enjoying this. Now, you may be here and you might not have heard those previous four messages. I don't get any cut off the tapes, you know. And the prayer center, really, they're virtually offering them virtually at cost anyway. $3 a piece, I think. Those four tapes you need in your arsenal. The first one is the serving son. The serving son's enemy. The serving son's helper. And the serving son's victory. Tonight we're going to talk about the serving son's Lord. You'll know what I mean in a minute. When he started unfolding that vision to me, and I appreciate the way he did it, I mean, I was meditating, as you know, in the prodigal son of all things. Which you'd think if there was any one parable that the church has milked dry and squeezed every drop of revelation out of it, by now it would be the story of the prodigal son. I started hearing about that in the Baptist church when I was in Sunday school, probably at 4 or 5 years old, I started hearing about that. But he took of all things, makes you wonder what's really in the word. If he can bring all of that out of the prodigal son, my Lord, what all's in there? And I'm not going to review very much because those tapes are available, and I think you'll be able to catch the drift of it tonight even if you didn't hear them. But you ought to get those tapes. You really ought to, and not give them away either. I preached them, and I've been listening to them myself now. They came out of my mouth. I go home and listen to them. And what starts happening, he just started unfolding this vision in my spirit. It was like a moving movie vision, what I call a teaching vision. And really, I didn't have any control over it. All I'm doing now, the Holy Spirit has taken over my meditator. And he's unfolding this vision to me, and all I really have to do is write down what I'm seeing, just like you would take notes if you went to and were watching a movie or something. It was wonderful. Started off with the prodigal being lost. The elder son being all upset and mad at the prodigal because he didn't know his father at all. He had no idea that his father loved the prodigal son. The Holy Spirit asked me, what would have been the cure for the elder brother? Well, he would need to go in and fellowship with his father. He doesn't know his father at all because he thought the father would be mad and angry at the prodigal just like he was. So the cure, and you ought to remember this, every one of you, how many of you in here right now would like to know without a shadow of a doubt, not by prophecy, not because somebody told you, not by guessing, not by reading a book and checking your attributes to see what your call is, but would like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what your call is in the body of Christ? I'm telling you without equivocation, you'll never find out unless you go in yourself and spend time with the Father. You'll never find out. You know why? There's not enough love in you. I'm telling you the truth. There's not enough love in you. You might be a real nice person. It's a big difference between that and the love of God. He started showing me, he says, you know, as long as that elder son was angry and had unforgiveness in his heart towards the prodigal, he would never, ever, ever have found out his call. Because the things in him, the way he felt towards the prodigal, blinded him to his call from the Father to go seek and save the prodigal. And he would never have found it out. Only by going in, sitting down with his Father, spending time in fellowship with the Father, could the love that's in the Father be transferred to the elder son. And once he started seeing that the Father loved the prodigal, the Father was grieving over the prodigal, Only as those things began melting his heart did he understand, Father, I have not known you at all. I had no idea you felt like that. Would you like for me to go see if I can find him? He may be out there and not know that you still love him. I didn't know it. He may not know it. Would you like for me to go look for him? If I find him, I could tell him that you're looking for him, that you want him to come home. And the father would say, what would your father say? Would you be willing to do that? Yes. Yes. The first step on you finding out your call, you're going to have to get in there with the father yourself. Let him start putting his love for human beings in you. Let him start melting away any residual unforgiveness, anger, self-righteousness. Get all that stuff out of you and replace it with his pure love. Because every single one of us, now we're not all called to be an evangelist out on the front line. That's just one part of the body. But whether you're a Dave Roberson who's going to be standing on the shores of Japan preaching the word in demonstration of the Spirit and power, or you're the Mary Corbett, or any of the other staff I could choose, here at the church doing everything necessary to keep Dave out there on the road, your part as a secretary, as the person that changes these light bulbs, I don't care what your part is. You've got a part somewhere. And once you find out from the Father what your part is, I'm telling you the kingdom of heaven opens up to you just as much as it opens up to Pastor Dave. God's no respecter of persons. But finding your part, you're not going to find it without spending time with the Father. And I thought at first the only reason for that was because, well, we just didn't know what he was thinking. No, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. We don't have his love in us developed to that point. The very ones he would send us after is the ones you may be suing. Try not to look at anybody in particular, you know. The very ones he would send you after might be the ones you've been talking about. Well, what do you imagine the conversation before the elder brother came in and spent time with the father? And he's out in the father's fields just every day. And he hasn't fellowshiped with the father yet. And there's probably other people out there. Now, what do you imagine his conversations were like concerning the prodigal? I know my father didn't raise him like that. Well, that boy had been better off shot dead. Why, here he is. He's been out wasting the father's inheritance on harlots, riotous living. There's no telling. That unrighteous, unholy thing. Can you see? That's the kind of conversations he would have had. After he comes in and spends quality time with the father for a little while and the father's love for the prodigal fills him from his toenails to his hair, can you imagine him going back out into the fields and talking that way again? On the contrary, now he's willing to lay down his life to go seek and save the very one that before he was judging. You're never going to find it out, your call. Not only, it's not just a matter of going in and having him say, you are this, or you are that, or you are this. It's worse than that. He's got to take a lot of that stuff out of us and replace it with his own love. Only as that begins to happen are we really going to understand his call. Only then are his instructions going to make sense to you. I'm beginning to understand why he told me a while back, I was begging him, I know none of you ever did this, I was begging him, give me more, I want more precise instruction. I want to know more details about my call. You know? I mean, none of y'all have ever done that. I can tell. Right. And he told me plainly, he says, son, if I were to do that at your present level of transformation, what I said to you would sound so bizarre to your mind that your mind would rise up and say, well, that's not God. And I didn't know what he meant. He gave me one example then, but I'm seeing this worst example now. Because before the elder son had gone in to spend time with the father, let's say he hasn't spent any time with the father yet. So he's still out there in his unrenewed state. And all he does is write a letter to the Father. This is good. He writes a letter to the Father. Sends it by a messenger. Yeah, he hasn't fellowshiped with the Father yet. Father, I'm tired. I'm working out in your fields, but I just have this feeling that this is not your highest call for me. What is your highest call for me? And he writes that in a message, sends it to his Father. The answer comes back. He opens up the envelope, and the Father's instructions for his highest call is, I want you to lay down your life to go seek and save the prodigal. That can't be my Father's voice. Why, the Father, he's disowned him by now. I'm sure the Father is just like me. And we have both already passed judgment on the prodigal. That can't be the Father's. Rip, 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 tear it up, throw it away. That's too bizarre. The Father wouldn't have me, the righteous one, go seek and save this vile sinner. That's too bizarre. Sure is quiet in here. You see what it is? It's not just a matter of finding out your call. You won't even recognize it unless we start, and I'm talking, you know I'm preaching to me too, you understand that. We wouldn't recognize the instructions if he told them to us unless along with that came his love. Because otherwise, I mean, it's going to sound bizarre to the natural man, that part of you that thinks you're okay, you know. Lord, this wasn't even in my notes. That's good stuff, though, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, as I was saying, and I'm not going to repeat, there's just not time. You need to get the tapes. I went through a lot of swings back and forth as the Lord's been unfolding this to me over the past several weeks. Now, for example, when it first really dawned on me that as a serving son, once I have set my course to serve my Father, I fellowship with him. I found out at least a portion of my call, what it is, bless God. And I've set out. That was a great day because I had this in this vision, I could see the Father. You know, we've got the caravan ready. We've got the camels packed and the pack mules are all loaded up and I've got some servants that are going to go with me and we're getting ready to depart the Father's house to go on this great mission to seek and to save the prodigal son. And I can see the Father coming out and his countenance is just beaming. He's just full of anticipation and joy and giving me a big old hug. And that was a great day. Boy, I was riding high. Yes, I am my Father's son. Glory to God, setting out on my Father's business. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? And then, so that was a great, boy, the day I got that part of the vision, that was great. I'm typing away and I'm loving this, you know. Of course, you know, the second step, I get out there and I find out there's an enemy. And I mean, this enemy is real serious about stopping me. And it doesn't seem to matter that I'm my Father's son. My camels go lame. Every time we pass by a village, the people of that village, they come out for no apparent reason and give us all kinds of trouble and yell all kinds of terrible things at us and throw rocks and everything, you know. And then sickness starts attacking my men. And then I don't know why, but all of a sudden they can't seem to get along with each other anymore. And they're calling each other ugly things. And besides that, we're starting to run out of food. We're starting to run out of provisions, you know. And so I write a message to my Father and send one of the runners back. But so far they haven't arrived and the camels are starting to get weak and we're starting to get weak. We're running out of food. We're on rations now. Our clothes are starting to get tattered and worn. And that day wasn't as good a day. You know, I sent that message back a while. I know my Father would send the provisions, you know. And besides that, it seems like the road signs, I'm not sure I can trust these road signs anymore. I mean, I'll come to a road sign, it says Damascus that way, and I'll head that direction, and I come to Tyre. And I'm going, well, somebody must have... Who's switching these road signs? You know, and if you don't understand what I'm talking about, that's what I mean. You need to get the previous tapes. Because all of these things in great detail I'll talk about on there. But that wasn't such a good day. I'm going, well, this mission started out glorious. But this part right now, this is not so good. So I see at the end of that one, I see the serving son. Boy, he writes another letter back to the father. And he says, Father, there's an enemy out here. Basically, he's beating my ears off. We're starving here. I don't know whether you sent the provisions or not. They're not here. I assume you got the message. We're tired. We're sick. Our camels are getting so weak that they can't even carry the people, you know, the servants anymore. Father, we need help. Okay. That was kind of a bad day. That day was not so good. Then the next day, the Holy Spirit's helper, the Father read that message, and he says, that's that same enemy that tried to overthrow me eons ago, and I threw him out. And now he is attacking my serving son. I have an all-powerful ally. I call him the Holy Spirit. Come here, Holy Spirit, let's talk. You're going to go and be with my serving son. And your commission is this. You will be his helper. They will call you the paraclete, one called alongside to help. You're going to train my serving son how to fully cooperate with you. And your job is to completely destroy every attack that the enemy launches against my serving son. If the supply wagons have been held up, you're to go get them loosed. If sickness attacks my body, you're to manifest, or attacks their bodies, you're to manifest healing. If strife breaks out in the camp, you're to manifest my love and forgiveness. But you are to be my serving son's counselor, friend, helper, lawyer, standby, advocate. Oh, and by the way, once you arrive, all power shall be unto him. You are to enforce his words. Whatever he says, you perform it. Glory to God. That was a good day. That was a good day. Hallelujah. I started seeing this. That kind of brings us up today. Well, after that, the fourth tape then, after that, I saw that, man, the number one thing for victory, having already been out there and given my best efforts to serve the Father, every single day. Now, which is more important today, my effort or the work of the Holy Ghost? I believe it's the work of the Holy Ghost. I don't think my excuse of being too busy to pray is going to fly anymore. I don't think my excuses not to spend time confessing the word are going to fly anymore. I don't think my excuses of being too busy with my effort to meditate the word are going to fly anymore. Whether I get anything done with my effort today or not, the number one thing I need to make sure of is I give the Holy Spirit whatever he needs to release his power. And make sure he's operating on behalf of this mission today. Got it? Now, let me show you this. One day, though, as I was going through this, like I said, now, before we even get into that, does that help you? I don't know how else to say it. It helps me understand the players. The players in this little play that he's been showing me, this vision. God the Father in no way wished any ill towards his serving son. So all that religious stuff we were taught about God keeping you poor to keep you humble, the humility you need is the humility to go in and spend time with your Father.
That's right.
He will take care of the rest
Amen.
Of it. By his Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. You go in, you spend time especially. You say, well, how would I do that? The number one way to do it is worship and praying in other tongues. You let the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit's there for. He will start transferring the very love of God into you. He will start transferring the mind of the Father into you. What's in the Father's heart will become the purposes of your heart. That's what He's here for. The real humbling is to humble yourself in front of the Holy Spirit, present your body unto Him, a living sacrifice, and pray in other tongues. He will keep you humble because He will keep you so full of love for the Father that your meat really is to do the will of Him that sent you. It's all you care about. Okay? But now, if that's your attitude and if that's the way you are because you spent time in fellowship with the Father, and that is a progressive thing, we're all, you know. Listen. Not just in a practical sense here. Let's talk engineering-wise for a minute. You're the Father. You've sent your serving Son to rescue the prodigal whom you love. Would you rather he have sick, old, tired, weak camels? Or would you prefer he'd have young, strong, virile camels that can march all day in the blistering sun?
Number two.
Hallelujah. Would you rather your Son, that the mission be slowed down? And remember now, the object of this whole thing is the rescuing of the prodigal, is it not? Now, that being the case, would you rather that the serving Son would be slowed down by sickness? Well, didn't God put that on you because whatever reasons that they told you, He put it on you? Can you imagine the Father for any reason doing that? You know why not? He doesn't do that.
Hallelujah.
It's helping me isolate the players here. All those attacks, all that disinformation, all of the strife in the camp, all of the strife from the village people. All of that, all of it was sent by the enemy. Boy, you need to start understanding that. All of us need to start understanding that and quit blaming stuff on our Father. Quit listening to the accuser when he lies and says, well, the Father didn't send you the provision because you didn't first send Him an offering. Give me a break. You already given Him the offering. He wants your life. You gave Him that when you went in with a fellowship with Him and then set out on whatever mission it was He sent you on.
Hallelujah.
Whether it be, again, whether it be Dave in Japan or whether it be a secretary in the office here or whatever your call is, raising godly seed. If that's your number one call and you're giving yourself to that, glory to God, you are on the Father's mission. And anything that comes to stop you is your enemy. In Him, Jesus came to bring a message. John, the Apostle John, he thought it was so important he wrote it down for us. And it's in 1 John, the one that Dave talks about, which is the culmination of 80 years of wisdom, 80 years of ministry. John, after all that, he wanted to make sure that we got this message. You know, it's a short book, so there's not a whole lot. He didn't spend much time on extraneous things, you with me? Everything in there is meat. Here's the message. Now, isn't it odd that John thought that the church, after 80 years of ministry, this was the message they needed to know? He says, Jesus came to bring us a message, and I want to make sure you get it. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. And I mean, if darkness is invading your life, you need to understand the source of that darkness. It is not coming from your Father. And just that knowledge right there will set you free from about a half of religion's trash. Hallelujah. And it's still going on. I'd like to think they've quit preaching that stuff. I read a deal on the internet this week where oh God help me, be nice. It's hard to be nice. In the name of God, they stand there and say, well, God is stripping you of your money in order to get you humble where He can show you His plan. Well, is that right? Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. There was two men primarily in the New Testament that had real money problems. One of them was Zacchaeus. One of them was the rich young ruler. In both cases, you go read them for yourself. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know how the Father operates? Look at me. You'll know how he operates. All right, now, in both of those cases, let's take Zacchaeus. A man that is, he's obviously got money problems. He does. What happens? Jesus and Zacchaeus go into the house, Zacchaeus' house, and they talk. They fellowship. I'm sure Zacchaeus had questions. I'm sure Jesus had answers. I doubt it was much the other way around. All I know is at the end of that conversation, Zacchaeus come out of there with a little wiser counsel than he went in there with. And he had his own choice. He made the decision. Half my goods I give to the poor. And if I defrauded any man, I'll restore it fourfold. But I want you to notice, Jesus came and gave him the counsel. The man had money problems. But Jesus left it up to him. Jesus did not come in and strip Zacchaeus forcibly of his money. And the Father is not doing that to you. And religion teaches that all the time. And if you think it is the Father, you won't fight it. Fight it! It's the devil! He's trying to stop your mission. If he can keep you so poor you can't keep your car running, it's going to be hard for you to run around Tulsa passing out tracts, casting out devils, witnessing. I'm telling you the truth. All right, the other one, the rich young ruler, another one that had money problems. Now, Jesus loved this man. It plainly tells you. The man came and says, what must I do, you know, to be perfect? And he says, well, what are the commandments? And they told him, and the guy says, well, all these I've kept from my youth. And Jesus looked at the man and loved him. And he says, this one thing you lack. Because now, he said it to this man. You notice Jesus didn't say this that I can find to anybody else. Jesus is giving him counsel because of his problem. The man had a money problem. So Jesus gives him counsel. Sell what you have. And really, in one of them, it says, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. You follow me. But now, did Jesus leave it up to him? Or did Jesus forcibly want the will of God, do you? Stand right there. You 12. Get his money back. Jesus does not operate like that. He left it up to the man, didn't he? Now, that man made the wrong choice. And even after making the wrong choice, you don't see Jesus saying, all right, you 12, go take his money from him forcibly. I'm going to make him be a child of God whether he wants to be or not. I'm going to fix this problem for him. Now take that money away from him. Can you in your wildest dreams imagine Jesus doing something like that? Say no for the tape.
No.
Neither does your Father. Get it straight. Now, it may be that some of us are doing dumb, stupid things with our money. We may have money problems. If you would like to get answers to that, I suggest you go in. You have enough sense as Zacchaeus. Take your Bible, go into your prayer closet, spend some time in fellowship. The Holy Spirit will bring you the mind of Jesus. And he'll give you some corrective action, but he'll still leave it up to you what to do. He is not going to come and forcibly strip your money. Now, Christians have to know that kind of stuff in order to know how to operate. Because if you think it's God and you love God, see, I mean, it's the same thing with sickness. If you think God put it on you for whatever reason, you won't fight it. How can you take a stand for your healing if you think the one that you're petitioning, you know, to say, How could you petition the same one for healing if you think he's the one that put it on you? That doesn't even make sense. That's some of that disinformation that the enemy has been sending the church in the Father's name. They're liars. Get it straight. My post office box is post office box 9667 Tulsa, Oklahoma. feel free to write me all your hate mail. If you're preaching that God put sickness on people for any reason, you and I are enemies. You're a liar, sir, woman. And I'm here to stand up and declare the truth in Jesus' name. Been enough of that trash. I've just got enough rhino hide to do it, too. I've already had cancer. I've already had polio. What are you going to do to me? I hate religion. I love you, even if you're preaching that stuff. But you need to quit. You need to stop it. Hallelujah. That's enough. It's over. Hallelujah, as he would say. Our granddaughter one time, just, what was she, 4 years old, 5 years old? She would say, "That's enough. Stop it. It's over." Or something like that. You know, well, at that age, it's cute. Later, when she gets about 14, I'll smack her for that. You know, but, you know, give her a swat. But, boy, 4 years old, they can do no wrong anyway. I still haven't got into what he wanted me to say tonight. Hallelujah. That's all right. You having a good time? Hallelujah. Anyway, we start finding out the players, and it's important to know, see, in this game of life, if you want to call it that, you know, we only have so many years on this planet to serve him in this life. We're going to live forever with him. But, I mean, our stewardship's only for so many years. And I want to know who the players are. I want to know what my father's really like. What is he doing in this whole thing? Well, I'm finding out he is for me in every sense of the word. The enemy is against me in every sense of the word. And the Holy Spirit is my helper in every sense of the word. Glory to God. It helps to know that. Now, I said the title of this one is The Serving Son's Lord. Now, see, the way he unfolded it to me, be honest with you, I had a hard time even finding Jesus in this whole thing. Because I knew he was the serving son, but I knew he never set out without the Holy Ghost. But see, I see why the Lord brought it to me the way he did. Because the vast majority of us seems like we have to learn the hard way. The Father wants us to do this or that. Bless God, we set out to do it with all of our might. And for some of us, it takes longer than others to find out without the power of the Holy Ghost, you're going to come back with your ears beaten off, tail between your leg, and most likely backslid and wondering why God ever sent you into a mess like that. Now see, our Lord Jesus, he is the, capital V, serving son. And when he was here in his own flesh and blood body, he knew better than to set out to do warfare with the enemy without the baptism and the Holy Ghost. You read it for yourself. Now, for 30 years, he lived on the planet with the very life of God in his nature. And that nature was able to, just like Pastor Dave's been teaching us on the born-again trail, that nature is able to keep you holy. That nature is able to keep you from sin. That nature... I'm listening to that. Now, you guys know me. I'm listening. But this is news to me, too. I'm feeding on those 8:30 morning message, Sunday morning messages. And I mean, my spirit is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and the devil's in more trouble every week. But you understand what none of us have arrived that I know of, except maybe Dave. Dave's the deadest man I know. You can say what you want. I've seen 14 people in there shouting and ready to cut each other's heads off. Right around day, 5 minutes before the service, and he'll come in here and just, the love of God, you know. You would never know all that was going on back there. Deadest man I know. You say what you want. I'm going to follow him as he follows the Lord. He's quite a ways further than me down this trail. I'm going to follow him. Hallelujah. As he follows the Lord. Anyway, I want to get into this, Jesus, can I? Anyway, Jesus, now that nature in him kept him holy, kept him pure, kept him sanctified. And we're finding out it'll do that in us too. We just haven't really known it. To be honest with you, the way I was raised, and I don't know what kind of church he's raised in. But really the impression I got from all the messages I heard is there's no not, they would take verses out of context like there's There's none righteous, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And they would take that to mean, see, there you have to sin. Born again or not born again. You have to sin. Well, just in your, hold your, I never tell you where to go. Okay, in that case, well, okay then, go to 1 John. The first time I ever read this verse after I got saved, I thought I wasn't saved. But now, I was raised with the idea of, well, there's nobody that can live without sin. You know, you have to sin. Well, did Jesus have to sin? Hang on now. Louder.
No.
No, he didn't. Whose life did we get when we got born again? We got that life. We haven't known how to bring it forward is all. Part of it because we keep getting messengers in the name of the Father that's not telling the truth. They tell you you have to sin. Now, is that right? Let's see now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Like I said, the first time I read 1 John after I was saved, I didn't think I was saved anymore. It says, verse 18, chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Do I need to read any more? Let me read that again. I must be wrong. Let me clean my glasses. Okay, let me look at it again here. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Let me tell you something. That's news to me, and that is news to the whole church world. And I thank God for Pastor Dave, because it's that path that he's bringing forward on the born-again trail. But John, after 80 years of ministry, this was his conclusion right near the end of his book. I believe John knows what he's talking about. I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing to our pastor what John was talking about. And I believe as we keep coming and incorporating that truth, we'll know what John was talking about. And I think the day will come we'll walk in that truth. Amen? But even at full stature, him who knew no sin, he himself would not go into battle to destroy the works of the devil without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You read it for yourself. He never did one miracle. He never cast out one devil. He never multiplied any loaves and fishes. He never healed any blind. He never did anything like that, ever. For 30 years. Now think about that. He grew up in a town just like you grew up in a town. He watched people die with horrible, crippling diseases, knowing he's the Son of God with the life of God on the inside of him. Knowing that. Maybe he had an Aunt Betty. Like I have had an Aunt Betty. She's now passed away. That brain tumor killed her. Because we don't know these things. Makes me mad. All that does is drive me further in. I'm going to understand these things. Where Jesus is able to do what he wants to do. But let's say Jesus growing up in Nazareth. Maybe he had an Aunt Betty. Don't you think in 30 years in the town of Nazareth, people died of sicknesses early, young? Have you ever thought about Jesus watching that? Not doing anything about it? Why? You're not going to like this. You better unscrew your religious head right now. Take it off. He couldn't.
Come on now.
No, he couldn't have either. You take that religious stuff and stick it back in your basket. Jesus emptied himself, the Bible says. He was not here as we see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as deity, although he is deity. He is the second man, the last Adam, the first man in 4,000 years, the first human to be born with the life of God from above in his spirit. But he operated. Now, you better get ready. You want to find this out anyway on the born-again trail. That life that he was conceived in the womb of Mary is exactly the same life that was conceived in you when you were born again.
Hallelujah.
It is. Can you see from the serving son vision, though, that that life, that's what gives you love for the Father. That's what established our ability to fellowship with the Father again. That's where that love comes from, and that drive for you to set out to serve the Father in whatever capacity He sends you in. But boy, from the serving son vision, I can plainly see that alone. That's enough to keep you going. That's enough to keep you away from distractions like sin and things, keep you on the path. But that is not enough to overcome the enemy, and Jesus knew that. He knew it for His disciples. Go to Acts chapter 1. Jesus would not set out without it. And that's not exactly the verse I'm looking for, but you have to take my word for it or find it yourself. I'll read this one a second. When Jesus says, it may be in there. Is that it? Might be Luke, where He says, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem." Do anyone know exactly where it is in Luke? Should be near the end of Luke, okay. I'm sorry, what? 24:45. And I'm looking at something wrong. 49. There it is. Now look. Yes, let's read this one first. Luke 20. This is, I still haven't gotten into the message, so there must be another part coming. Some night. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send, wait a minute, let's back up. No, that's okay. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you. That means, that don't mean tarry like, religiously. He's just saying, stay there. You stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I couldn't overcome the devil without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. What makes you think you can? Don't you even think about being my witnesses. I know you love me. I know you're born again. I know you're full of zeal. Zeal for my Father's house has consumed me. I didn't go without that power. And if you're going to be my disciple, don't you even think about it. Don't even think about being a witness for me. The enemy will beat your ears off, and you'll bring disgrace on the name of Christ. Now, just the baptism alone isn't enough. Once you get it, we've got to learn how to cooperate with that Holy Spirit. What is it that releases His power? How do we really flow with His leadership? We've got so much to learn. It's incredible, but guess what? The same Spirit that brings the power, the Father made that same Spirit our teacher. He not only brought the power, He's come to teach you how to release it. Is there a better deal? I mean, not only do you get a book, not only do you get the power, you also get the teacher. Who will teach you how to release that power? This is the best university I've ever heard of.
Glory to God.
Glory, and it's all free. The one I went to wasn't. Thank God for my parents, you know, that paid for it. Hallelujah. Now go to Acts 1:8, and He tells them why. Now here He tells them, you'll be endued with power from on high. Then He tells them again in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8, you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I like to put in, and then. Because He said, don't leave till you get it. After the Holy Ghost comes on you, you'll get this power. Then you shall be my witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, notice the ever-widening circle, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. After, I said. After you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But even after you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, now you've got to learn to cooperate with Him. Case in point. It was many years. How many of y'all know the story when that sheet was let down? You know, Peter was up on top of the house praying one day and just all of a sudden, which that's the way these visions come, just all of a sudden, he was in the spirit, and he fell over, fell into a trance, I think it says. And he saw a sheet being let down from heaven. And in that sheet was all manner of creeping things and four-footed beasts and things that were not kosher. Food that it was not legal for a Jew to eat according to the law. And the Holy Spirit said, God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter says, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever gone into my mouth. And the vision appeared to him a second time. And the vision appeared to him a third time. Now what is God doing? God is using the gifts of the Spirit, using a word of knowledge in vision form and in word form. He is teaching Peter the truth and how to release the power of the Holy Ghost when it comes to the Gentiles. Now this is years after that Peter's been baptized in the Holy Ghost for many years. I forget now how many, but it's been quite a few years since Jesus ascended to the Father. Finally, Peter gets the message because God says, Peter, do not, how does he say it? Do not call common that which I have cleansed. And then he gave him instructions. There's some men knocking on the door. Go with them. Now thank God, Peter was teachable. And by the gifts of the Spirit, an open vision, hearing the Lord speak to him in his spiritual ear, or it may have even been his outer ear, but Peter received a word of knowledge that he didn't know before. He received a word of wisdom on what to do, did he not? And he also received discerning of spirits because God let him know what the motivations were of the men who were knocking on the door. Peter knew to go with them. Three of the gifts in manifestation right there. But how are the gifts operated? Severally as who wills? As the Spirit wills. We got to learn to start cooperating with the Spirit. Now once God's plain, now at that moment he had a choice. He either had to reject the tradition of his fathers, all of the Jews back to Moses, all of them. He had to reject all of that and go with this vision and this teaching that he just got from the Holy Ghost. By being willing and learning to trust the Holy Spirit more than the traditions of men. Now you got to understand, this meant more than what he understood of Moses. More than what he understood of Moses. He had to say, I got to go with the Holy Ghost, or I got to go with what I believed in the past. I've got a choice to make. I'm sorry, what? Oh, is it unlawful for him to go to the Gentile's house? That's what the whole vision was about. God's wanting, God, at the cross, actually from God the Father's point of view, from that moment on, the gospel was open to the Gentiles. Peter didn't know it. Peter didn't know it. But now, without a shadow of a doubt, God makes known unto him his will. Thank God, Peter made the right choice. He learned how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just tell you something that the Holy Ghost told me. He said, had Peter chosen to stick with the traditions of the elders and his fathers, he says, once the truth has been made fully known to you, and you reject that truth, that is rebellion of the highest order. That is rebellion of the highest order. Now, if you don't really know, then that's one thing. But I hear God three times, gave him a vision, spoke words to him, totally explained to him, it's not a matter of Peter not knowing. It's just a matter of Peter's choice now. And he told me, he says, had Peter chose the traditions of the elders, then that would have been at the beginning of his journey to the camp of the Pharisees, out of the will of God, and eventually out of his stewardship. We must learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, even if it means rejecting traditions that your daddy believed, and your granddaddy believed, and your great-great-granddaddy believed, all the way on back. The Holy Spirit has to become our most trusted friend, our most relied upon counselor, the one, and to be honest, you know what that's going to require? Getting to know Him. Getting to know Him. Is this good stuff or what? Hallelujah. Now, finally, I'm going to get to say this, I think. It's what I meant to say from the beginning. I kept going through this pendulum swing. One minute I felt like the all-conquering, blessed of the Father serving Son. Then I get out there and get my ears beat off. And I feel like the God, you know, almost feel like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me in this vision? Then the Father sends the Holy Spirit, you know, and I think that's great. Well, thank God He sent me this kind of helper. Glory to God, all power, all wisdom, all knowledge is in this guy. Hallelujah. You know, I got it made now. And then I find out I don't know very much about cooperating with Him, and still the enemy's beating my ears off. And I'm going up and down and up and down. One day I feel like a conqueror. The next day I feel like a slimy dog worm. You know? So then it finally boils down. I see it though that my victory, I must get to know this Holy Spirit. I've got to know Him. He and I have to communicate. I've got to understand how He works. I've got to hear His communication. Now, to be that day, let me just tell you for me, you may not be like this. That day, when it dawned on me, my God, everything depends on me obeying Him. Even though the Father sent me on the mission. It's almost a paradox. You know, and you hear this in the body of Christ all the time, you know. One camp, they argue about the faith camp. Well, you're just ordering God around. You can have what you say. Who do you think you are? Just ordering God around, you know, saying stuff, calling in the lost. What heresy, you know? Who do you think you are? See, on the one side. Then on the other side, you hear them call in revival, you know, they think, well, it's all sovereign. No man's going to get the glory for it. Man has nothing to do with it. God either pours it out or He doesn't. Doesn't make any difference whether you pray, whether you fast, whether you call in the lost. It doesn't make any difference. It's sovereign, sovereign, sovereign. Okay. Well, that day that I realized my victory is totally depends on me hearing what He says and doing what He says, I felt more like the sovereignty camp. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not in charge at all. I'm just a slave, sure enough, just like Dave's been saying. I'm a slimy dog worm. The only thing God wants from me is my flesh. I mean, He has to have a flesh body to operate and have authority here, so He didn't really care about me much. All I've got to, you know, I'm a rope. What do I do, Holy Spirit? Press a button, I'll do it. Kind of the way I felt, you know. Really, it's kind of a bummer, downer day for me. That day I kind of understood where it was coming from about ordering God around and stuff, you know. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because the reason that tonight is the serving Son's Lord. Now turn to John 17. To be honest with you, we're just now getting into the message. Lock the door, somebody. Hallelujah. John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Because if we're going to really work with the Holy Spirit, and what I mean is, flow with Him, operate with Him, communication. If we're really going to operate on a real basis with the Holy Spirit, we've got to understand how to do it. And we've got to understand our relationship. So when I was pondering this thing, and on my downer day, the Holy Spirit brought this verse to me. And it's John chapter 17, verse 18. Jesus is right in the middle of praying this high priestly prayer unto the Father. One thing I know for sure, everything in this prayer gets answered. This is God the Son praying to God the Father. I have no doubt at all that this prayer gets answered. Now look what Jesus prayed here, talking about us. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, speaking of the 12, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That is us. Amen? Well, if that's us, go back up to verse 18. And it is. Jesus says, now get this. Father, as thou hast sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. The Holy Spirit asked me a question. I love it when the Holy Spirit asks me a question. I know he's not looking for information. He is about to teach me something. Here's the question. He says, what do you suppose my relationship was with the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you think he and I fellowshipped? And I got to thinking about that. And again, this goes back to the serving son vision. Jesus now being the serving son who has left the Father's house in heaven. He's come to earth for the express purpose of seeking and saving the prodigal. And now at the Jordan River, before he even sets out on that mission, here comes the Holy Ghost to be his helper. Now what do you think? Do you think the Holy Spirit regarded Jesus as a slimy dog worm? I don't think so. Do you think that Jesus regarded the Holy Spirit as some kind of lackey? You know what I mean by that? Some kind of fetch boy. I think there was the highest level of respect, admiration. They were both on this mission together. Jesus had certain things to do that the Holy Spirit could not do. See, the Holy Spirit does not have a corporal body, flesh body. In that sense, he has no authority here. You have to have a body. You don't believe that? Try exercising authority here after you leave yours. You'll find out real quick. Sam Walton found out real quick. Now, he may have ordered I don't know how many employees every day by his decisions. Once he left this body, once he left the body that he had on earth, he's not giving them any decisions anymore. If they want to find out anything, they got to go read his books and his memos that he left before, because he ain't writing no more of them. You with me? So, but yet, I want you to understand this. And I got to thinking. Now, the relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit would have to be one. I can never imagine in my wildest dreams the Holy Spirit talking down to Jesus. Can you? Can you imagine? It makes me want to go back and go over some of these words I have received from parking lot prophets and others in the past. Where they just raked me over the coals, and by the time that thus saith the Lord was over, I felt too low to even crawl on the carpet. I'd have to crawl under the carpet. And now that I'm seeing this, I'm thinking, I can't imagine in my wildest dreams the Holy Spirit talking like that to Jesus. Let's see now. Father, as you have sent me, I am now sending them. We are on exactly the same mission that the Father sent Jesus on in the first place. And the Father has sent us exactly the same helper that he sent to Jesus while he was here in the flesh. And everything you do, and now this whole message, this whole series assumes you're sold out to serve him. I'm not even talking about you. If you're trying to, you know, if your goal in life is to see how much sin you can get in and still make heaven, these tapes are not for you. Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you some fire and brimstone tapes that'll drive you out of there. I'm assuming you're doing everything you know to do to serve him. That's what these messages are for. Now, and I know most of you, and most of the people that even get these tapes are like that. I'm thinking, faces are going through my mind. I know these people. Many of them. Now, you're on exactly the same mission. You're the serving son. You are here representing Jesus. You're on exactly the same mission. In fact, we get our instructions from him. He's the head of the church, you know. And the Holy Spirit brings us the very mind of Christ. so that each one of us knows what we're supposed to be doing in His body. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He is coming to one who is functioning in His name. And He's going to talk down to you like you're some kind of slimy dog worm? I don't think so. He has come to help you in every possible way.
Hallelujah.
If you have gotten off course, His whole job is not... That's what it means when He said, okay, yes sir, go to James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. I think Dave liked that, don't you? James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and what? And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now let's just say, for example, I know none of you have ever done this. None of you have ever made any decisions on what you're going to do for Jesus without the counsel of the Holy Ghost. Just like I never have. As I duck from thunderbolts, you know. All of us have. That's the whole point. So let's say you've been out there for, say, let's say 3 years. And you've been doing your best and but you have not really developed, you know, this relationship very much with the Holy Spirit as far as receiving His direction and stuff, you know. If you've been doing your best, you didn't know that road sign had been switched, but now you're over on the wrong path about 2 miles away from God's will. You didn't intend to get out here. And then circumstances happened. The finances didn't come, so now you've taken a part-time job. This is going to slow down your search. You know, you just can't make your bills, so now you got to work 3 jobs, you know, trying to make your bills, and you're doing all this. And finally you say, Father, help. And the Father sends the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Do you think He's going to be shocked, you in your own wisdom, that you've somehow gotten off the trail? Do you think that's going to be, the Holy Ghost?
No.
Without my counsel? You got off the trail? I'm so shocked. Well, that's it for you. It's hellfire and brimstone now. I wouldn't give you my wisdom. Now, how many of you have had prophecies? I mean, don't even answer that. Scold you and berate you because you missed it. Listen, because we haven't had any teachers except Dave that I know of, there's probably more that I don't know of any, that even tells us how to get in contact with the Holy Ghost. All of us are off the trail. Boy, once you finally learn how to make connection and He shows up and He gets to telling you, I got news for your head. I love you, son, but you're off the trail, man. Damascus really is that way. I don't care what those circumstances said, you know. Come on, you're going to have to go with me now. Oh, by the way, resign that part-time job. Stop. Okay, no, you're going with me. You see what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to say, you're doing well. The Father sent you. All those other guys were liars. God loves you, son. Yes, He sent you in the first place. You're my man here. Hallelujah. The Lord sent you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. Rescue the goat, seek and save the prodigal. Heal the sick and cast out devils. Yes, I'm getting you back on the right path over here. Don't pay any attention to those preachers. Don't listen to them. Stay right here. You do what I tell you. You do what I tell you. Now, step one. Don't go anywhere. Let me put power on you. Boom. Everything you say from this point on, I'm going to do that in His name. You might want to think carefully about your words. You start seeing what's happening here? Okay, thanks. Thanks, bro. Hallelujah. That's the way the Holy Spirit, He's going to treat you with respect. You're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, the, capital T-H-E, the serving Son. And everything we're doing in His name. You think the Holy Spirit's shocked that you got off the path? When the devil's been out switching the road signs and everything on you? You didn't know how to walk by anything except what you could see? What did you expect? You think the Holy Ghost is going to be surprised?
He's just going to be going, look, you and I need to spend some time together. I need to teach you how to walk by the Spirit. You know, Jesus, He said, I'm not walking in the dark here. You know, are there not 12 hours in the day? He says, boys, I'm not guessing. I know what I'm doing. I have communion and fellowship with my helper. I don't have to go by any natural signs like my friend Lazarus is sick. And if I don't come, he will die. Now I've got counsel from a little higher source. And that source tells me whether he dies or doesn't die. If he does die, we're going to go raise him up. I'm not making any decisions based on natural road signs. Whatever the helper that my Father sent me, whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. Is this getting you free or what? It's getting some of them free. Glory to God. I started getting so high on this. I started getting so high. Hallelujah, brother. It's good. It's good. Glory to God. I started getting so high on this. Religion has been... if you guys have been following me around, you've been hearing large thuds. Religious limbs falling off. You can hear little chainsaws. If you listen in the Spirit, you can hear chainsaws still working on me. You walk around, you're walking a few feet behind me. What's that noise? And after a little while, thud, there goes another limb of dead religion. Glory to God. I have a helper. His name's the Holy Ghost. Stand up and praise the Lord for him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Our helper in Jesus' name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say this after me. Be good for your soul. Say, Father, you are light.
You are light.
There's no darkness in you.
At all.
You love me.
You love me.
You sent me.
I'm on your mission.
You're on my side.
You've sent me the helper.
He is to help me.
He brought power.
He brought wisdom.
He brought anointing.
He brought counsel.
And the enemy
has been exposed.
Everything.
Persecution.
Affliction.
Cares of this world.
They're all sent by the enemy.
To steal your mission away from me.
He's been exposed.
I see him now.
Holy Spirit,
from this night forward,
teach me
how to speak those words
that manifest the will of the Father
and put the enemy
on the run.
I am seeking
and saving
the lost.
I will spend time
with the Holy Spirit,
who will bring to my mind
the mind of Christ.
I'll know my call.
I'll be equipped for my call.
I'll be led by the Spirit
in my call.
No more walking in darkness.
No more guessing.
No more stumbling.
I walk in the light of day.
The counsel of the Holy Ghost.
Praise Him again.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus.
I can't help it. Is that good stuff or what?
Hallelujah. We're going to get so free around this place. We're going to get so free.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Go for it.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory, 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 glory! Yes! Yes! Hallelujah! Yes! Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah! For freedom, for liberty has set you free. Glory to God! Hallelujah! Be seated if you can. Now, just in case, y'all, I have to do this. There might be a prodigal in here. If you're lost, do you understand that everything that about Christianity is for you? All of us are here on a Wednesday night in America to learn better how to seek and save you. If you're not born again. That's what we're here for. That's what the Father's mission is all about, no matter what our part is. If you're not saved, what I mean by that, if you don't know for sure that tonight if you died you'd go to heaven, you need to get up here right now and get saved. It's free. That's what this is all about. Everything that we're doing, all the money for electricity, the money for air conditioning, and everything we're doing is all about you. The end result is to get you saved. If you're not born again, if you don't know for sure, please, I invite you right now to come up. The Father's been looking for you. He's been out on the front porch hoping to see you coming. There is no condemnation. Jesus already bore all the punishment for your sin. You receive Him as your Savior, you're saved, and He'll forgive you and put a new spirit in you. Glory to God. That's what this is all about. Now, if you've been saved, listen, we think that'd be the smartest thing you ever did, to come up and get saved. Secondly, if you've been saved for a while and you've never received the Helper, why in the world would you want to stay out there in your own strength and get your ears beat off by the devil? When the Holy Spirit has been sent specifically to bring you wisdom, bring you counsel, bring you leadership, and bring you power. Glory to God! Reject the Helper? I don't think so. I don't want to reject Jesus, and I don't want to reject the Helper either. I need all the help I can get. I don't know about you guys. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need that prayer language. That's the number one way He's given us of communicating, going in and speaking with the Father. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, you ought to come up and get it right now. And you can get happy like these folks. You do know the Bible says God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? Hallelujah. I don't think they're foolish. He said foolish things of the world. Hallelujah. I qualify. Okay. I have to give the offer. I'm a preacher. What do you think? You know, you got to give an offer. Get saved, get filled. Hallelujah.